Greetings, my sisters and brothers, my dear sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. And you are listening to thinkaboutit.org, and the program is the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is November the 21st, 2010. And on the Mind of God program, we endeavor to organize for freedom, justice, and equality. The kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. And we are willing, ready, and able to ally ourselves with any political, religious, and revolutionary organization. Our beautiful sister, as long as those organizations, political, religious, and revolutionary, are also willing to ally with each other and work for the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. Our beautiful sister, Venice, is our producer, helper, engineer, facilitator, the coordinator of this website, and you may contact me by emailing yahlove, yahlove, yahlove at comcast.net. And as we always do, let us pause and give thanks and praises unto the Almighty Creator and the Almighty Creatress. We give praises unto the Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, Father is known as Abba. In the African Arabic language, the Father is known as Allah, spelled A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, the Almighty Father is known as Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the Native American tradition, the Almighty Father is known as the Great and the Grand Father. Also giving praises to our wonderful and precious and beautiful Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. She is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word wisdom in the African Hebrew language is chokmah, and that is a feminine word denoting and referring to a feminine entity. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful and wonderful and precious Mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. Mother Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your and my mother as well, as Mother Holy Spirit conceived the human family, you and me, the universe, the whole of creation. The Father begets, the Mother conceives, together Father and Mother have given birth to the whole of creation. Mother Holy Spirit in the African Hebrew language is Ruach HaKadosh. The word Ruach is the word for spirit in the African Hebrew language. In your Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary on the Hebrew side, the number 7307 is the number for the word spirit, Ruach, in the spirit in the African Hebrew language. And that word Ruach is feminine, denoting and referring to a feminine entity. In the African Arabic language, the name of our Mother, the Holy Spirit, is Illa, spelled I-L-L-A-H. And our wonderful Islamic sisters and brothers say, Ashadu Illa Illaha Il Allah. You hear Illa three times, you hear Allah one time. Father and Mother have come together to give birth to the whole of creation. In Egypt, Mother is known as Aminet, the hidden and unseen mother. In the Native American tradition, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the Great and the Grand Mother. So, I greet you, my dear, wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the African Revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. And believe it or not, Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I, Rastafari I, of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile Selassie I, Rastafari I, was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So we say Jah, Rastafari, Haile Selassie I, as Jesus Christ's new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon, judgment in this Roman British American Empire. This is to teach us that Christ, that Yahshua, that Jesus, that Jah desires to be revealed and manifested within your and my and our personalities, thereby making our names the new names of Jesus Christ in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that in the last days Christ would come and manifest in those who would rise up as revolutionaries to stand up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. And that would constitute the second coming. And that would constitute the final work of Christ in the last days, to raise up the poor black, brown, red, yellow, and poor white, to overthrow this wicked system of privatized and parasitic capitalism, colonialism, and slavery. So this is our mission. And so we are yet in the book of Revelation. We are yet looking at the message of Jesus Christ, our revolutionary Savior, through the revolutionary African Apostle John. And before we get back into Revelation, let us look at a few current affairs, current headlines. With the mind of Christ and with the revelation of Christ, as the word revelation comes from the Greek word apokalyptos, which gives us the word apocalypse, which means to uncover the truth and to look at the falsehood and move the falsehood so that we can see the truth about this wicked system. As normal, I take my headlines and leading stories from Democracy Now! And Democracy Now! Is a wonderful tool because all manner of subjects are covered and gives us an opportunity to give commentary on a wide range of subjects. Now, the week of November the 9th, or the week of November the 8th, on November the 9th, 2010, Democracy Now! Was covering Barack Obama's trip, President Barack Obama's trip to Indonesia and India, Southeast Asia and whatnot. And it was revealed on the November 9th edition, 2010, Democracy Now!, concerning some dealings with Indonesia. The headline says, the leading story says, as Obama arrives in Jakarta, that's Indonesia, secret documents show the United States-backed Indonesian Special Forces Unit targets Papuan churches and civilians. President Barack Obama arrived in Indonesia today on the second stop of a 10-day trip to Asia. It's Obama's first state visit to Indonesia after having lived there for 4 years as a child. We go to Jakarta to speak with investigative journalist and activist Alan Nairn, who has just released secret documents from Kopassus. The feared Indonesian Special Forces, which has been responsible for human rights abuses since the 1950s. Earlier this year, the Obama administration lifted a 12-year funding ban for the training of Kopassus. While Obama talks about human rights, the documents indicate that Kopassus targets churches and civilians and includes a Kopassus enemies list topped by a local Baptist minister in West Papua. You can find Nairn's documents on his website, AlanNairn.com, and I'm going to have that in my summary. But look at this. Barack Obama campaigned on justice, campaigned on on business not as usual, campaigned on human rights. So here we have a group of terrorists in Indonesia called the Kopassus, who they were so terrible that the government of the United States of America had to ban funding to this terrorist group, the Kopassus. But Obama, his administration, has seen fit to lift the funding ban on Kopassus, knowing full well that this group is a terrorist group raised up to terrorize our Indonesian sisters and brothers so that multinational corporations can come in and take the land, the wealth, the resources, so that that nation can be a strategic area to launch attacks onto indigenous people and poor people. But Obama has lifted the ban. I find that very interesting. We're going to have to wake up. And you know, we've been hitting the truth. We love Obama as a human being, as a person. But he is working for Wall Street. He is working for the multinational corporations. When he landed in India, the multinational corporations of America were already in India hatching deals, cutting deals, holding meetings to rape, pillage, and kill the poor. So we have to tell the truth concerning who Obama is working for. Let us pause and say that you are listening to Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org. This is the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is November the 21st, 2010. And you may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. The next major headline, author and activist Derek Jensen, who is the writer of The Dominant Culture, is killing the planet. It's very important for us to start to build a culture of resistance. And this is taken, now these next headlines or leading stories are taken from the week of November the 15th, 2010, Democracy Now! So these next series of major stories, November the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th, that week, that period of November, Democracy Now! Derek Jensen has been called the poet-philosopher of the ecological movement. He has written some 15 books critiquing contemporary society and the destruction of the environment. His many books include a language older than words. In the game, what we left behind, resistance and empire, and deep green resistance. We play part one of our conversation with him. This is Democracy Now! I think a lot of us are increasingly recognizing that the dominant culture is killing the planet. Jensen says, I think it's very important for us to start to build a culture of resistance because what we're doing isn't working clearly. And he was talking about how, let's put it in our own words, even though we're striving to be revolutionaries or striving to be activists, we are yet working within the system. We're yet working within the confines of the system. And he is frustrated. He is an ecological revolutionary, and we as African people are our ancient traditions are concerned with the ecology, concerned with the earth, concerned with the environment. So this is not outside of the purview and the realm of the revolution. And we know that this system of capitalism is depleting the earth of its, of her natural resources far too quickly. Depleting the natural resources without respect to Mother Earth. And I just looked at the movie Avatar, the one with where it depicts people from Earth going to another planet to kill off and destroy the indigenous on that planet by use of military weapons, by use of, I would say, demonology, having no concern for the indigenous people, and doing all manner of wickedness, infiltration, sending agents in under the cover of peace and whatnot. And so we saw in that movie Avatar that plain depiction of a disregard for ecology and disregard for indigenous people. And so this is within the realm of the African science of revolution. And so in that movie, it showed indigenous culture and indigenous philosophy in that you have respect for Mother Earth. You have respect for those animals that you take their lives to eat and get life from them. As you kill the animal, you thank that animal for giving you its life so that you may sustain your life. You do not take from the earth and disrespect the earth, but you take from Mother Earth and give respect to Mother Earth. And it was also interesting that in the movie Avatar, I believe the director, his last name is Cameron. I believe that's his last name. We saw the respect to the great mother goddess. And I am so thankful that the Most High has taught me to understand that the mother goddess is the Holy Spirit. She is our mother, Holy Spirit. And with the Father has given birth to the whole of the universe, the creation, and the human family. So this program was very interesting on Democracy Now! The next headline that I want to deal with, or leading story, deals with healthcare. Wendell Potter on Deadly Spin, an insurance company insider, speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. In the wake of the midterm elections, Republican lawmakers are vowing to repeal or defund the Democrats' landmark healthcare reform bill that President Obama signed into law earlier this year. A healthcare insurance insider turned whistleblower argues that instead of repealing the law altogether, Republicans will ultimately settle for gutting the law of its provisions that protect consumers. That's because the insurance industry is a major beneficiary of healthcare reform, and they're also a major contributor to Republican campaigns. Wendell Potter should know. He spent 2 decades as a spokesman for 2 of the nation's largest health insurers, Humana and Cigna. He quit and made national headlines in June of last year when he testified on Capitol Hill about the profit motive driving the unscrupulous practices of the healthcare industry. Wendell Potter's new book, once again, is Deadly Spin, an Insurance Company Insider Speaks Out. Now, we say as African revolutionaries, health care is a human right, a divine human right. Divinely given to us by the divine creator. And so what he is talking about, Wendell Potter, is that the plan of the Republicans is, now we say and we know that this health care plan that was reformed, that was passed, does not do all that it needs to do, by no stretch of the imagination. But what little it does do, the Republicans want to destroy it. Who does that serve? Serves the healthcare industry, but it ultimately serves the Illuminati Masonic Order, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, who are the wicked you read of in the Quran and the Bible and any other spiritual book. Their goal is to destroy the human family, take the land, the wealth, and the resources. But what is interesting is that we should realize that the national discourse is so far to the right. Far as I'm concerned, there is no longer a Democratic Party. Both parties are Republican in nature, in rhetoric, ideologically, and philosophically. There are a few among the Democrats who want to do right, but they are so weak. The party has shifted from its Democratic philosophical foundation and is trying to out-Republican the Republicans. The health care bill should have been health care for every citizen of America. It's a human right. It should have been constitutionalized as a human right. So they didn't do that. Obama didn't argue that, although he did argue that as a candidate or as a senator. But when he became president, he talked about the public option. But by the time he got to the negotiating table, he told the healthcare providers, the healthcare industry, don't worry about the public option. I'm only talking that as rhetoric. Don't worry about it. You've contributed a whole lot of money to my campaign. You contributed money to the political landscape. Don't worry about the public option. This is only PR for the people. So he never planned on the public option in the first place. And so the bill that was passed was watered down, disintegrated, obliterated. So the Democratic Party is no longer. It's all Republican. And so they're so far to the right that the Republicans can come in and eviscerate the whole bill. And so we say, health care is a human right, and that's what we are going to stand on and demand. The next headline or leading story, Representative John Lewis on Congress after GOP victory, closing Gitmo, Afghanistan war and ethics conviction of Charles Rangel. United States Representative John Lewis joins us to talk about the shifting political landscape following the Republican gains in the midterm elections, the Obama administration's abandonment of its pledge to close Guantanamo Bay, the Afghanistan war, and the conviction of Representative Charles Rangel on congressional ethics charges. Now, John Lewis came up in the civil rights movement. He's a good man. I love him. He wants to see Guantanamo Bay closed. He wants to see the Afghanistan war ceased. And he also spoke about the conviction of Charles Rangel. You know, Charles Rangel was convicted of really nothing. Misuse of money, supposedly. But his opposition said he committed no criminal act and did not enrich himself. The only thing he did not do was follow procedure and ask his superiors if he could do what he did with the monies that he acquired. So what we see is, sisters and brothers, an attack from the Obama administration. They want to make sure that the Democratic Party and that black people in the Democratic Party do not say close Guantanamo Bay. Do not say cease the war in Afghanistan. Cease the war in Iraq. They want to make sure that we keep quiet, as too many of us have been doing. Go to the African People's Social. Go to Uhuru Radio and listen to the Black Is Back Coalition. They gathered together on November the 13th and spoke the truth concerning the system, and spoke the reality that Barack Obama is working on behalf of Wall Street, the ruling class, and ruling families. But this is an attack on the left. Recall that the Obama administration said they were going to attack the left and make sure that we would not criticize what he is doing, what Obama is doing, because the plan is to continue to kill and destroy and use Barack's beautiful face, beautiful structure, beautiful personality to do it. But we are advocates for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, and we have to stand up. The next major headline I want to deal with: Haitians barricading streets with coffins as protests against the United Nations continue over cholera outbreak. Protests are continuing in Haiti over the cholera outbreak that has now killed more than 1,100 people and infected some 17,000. On Wednesday, residents in the city of Cap Haitien clashed with the United Nations troops for the third consecutive day. Crowds have taken to the streets expressing anger over the Haitian government and the United Nations for failing to contain the disease. We go to Cap Haitien to speak with independent journalist Ansel Hurst. This is such a sad situation. It's going to take us to unite on behalf of our sisters and brothers of Haiti. This is all about land, wealth, and resources. The people of Haiti, the government is trying to hold elections, but these elections are totally illegitimate. The Lavalas Party, the most populous and popular party, is banned. Jean-Bertrand Aristide is banned from returning into his country. All of this money raised by Clinton and Bush, I believe, is $60 million, I believe. And only $5 million has been let loose, administered, and has not gotten to the people. So the people are suffering. But what is the money for? The money that has been raised is in reality being raised for the infrastructure that will be needed to facilitate the theft of the land, the wealth, and the resources. And so, sisters and brothers, we have to unite. We have to stand for our sisters and brothers of Haiti, who have paid a hell of a price, a price equivalent to hell on earth, for all of these years, for having been the first republic in the West to overthrow slavery. And that is what this is all about. The West, the powers, America, Europe, have never forgiven the Haitian sisters and brothers, black people, African descendants, for overthrowing the slave system emanating from France. We're taking our first break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.